have no relationships to this clause, so we can save 2 seconds. Okay. So it is now well established that socioeconomic status is associated with a variety of health outcomes, and today we are going to focus on cardiovascular disease. Socioeconomic status can at least affect health in at least 2 ways. One is to dictate how much access the person can have, access to resources the person can have. And also, socioeconomic status is may determine the environmental exposure, toxic exposure. And those 2 pathways may lead to CVD. And in this study, we focus on occupation. And occupation is an interesting element in this context because it can be part of both of the pathways. Occupational status can determine how much access to resources we can have. And at the same time, occupation can expose us to various hazards like chemical, physical, biological, and job stress. So in this study, we asked 2 research questions. Is occupational status associated with CVD after controlling for other common SES measures in common education? And number 2, is job stress part of the occupational exposure associated with CVD after controlling for other SES measures? So this way, we can think about occupation in more specific way. It is true that in European studies, occupation is the major indicator of SES, but in America, we don't really pay attention to occupation as SES indicator, or we just assume that represents something in a big bag, and we don't really ask further what does it mean that there are occupational differences in health status. And in this study, we try to tease out what's in the occupation. And the data came from the multi-ethnic study of atherosclerosis. We call it MESA, so I don't have to pronounce atherosclerosis anymore. It's a 10-year-old cohort study funded by NHLBI. Its recruitment started in year 2000 in 6 cities, and we recruited 6,814 participants from 6 cities across the United States. And their age was 45 to 84 years, and they didn't have any obvious CVD at the time of participation. And slightly above half were women. And this is in this study, we don't focus on ethnicity, but interesting characteristic of this data set is that minority Americans are oversampled. And this group contains a wide range of occupations. I'd like to spend some 2 slides to explain what our dependent variable is. We focused on subclinical atherosclerosis, which is because catching people before they have heart attack is more important than waiting for them to die. So we used, carotid artery intima media thickness as a measure of CVD, subclinical CVD. It's a non-invasive measure of early stage of atherosclerosis. It can be obtained through ultrasound. The carotid artery, of course, is the major blood vessel going through from the heart to the brain. And what we measured is here. So in the diagram, to your right is the heart, and the blood goes up towards the left. And the common carotid artery has 2 branches. 1 external carotid artery goes to the face, and the internal carotid artery goes to the brain. And we measured the thickness of the inner lining of this blood vessel in 2 places, a common carotid artery and internal carotid artery. And of course, the thicker, the more likely the person to have atherosclerosis in the near future. This measure is not too new, but it's relatively new in epidemiologic studies. And now we have evidence for IMT to be associated with CVD incidence and also the other risk factors like high cholesterol, high blood pressure, all those usual suspects. So here's the first set of outcomes. After controlling for a whole bunch of covariates, we still saw a significant difference in carotid artery IMT between management professional occupations and blue-collar occupations. The numbers are in micrometers, and 48 micrometer difference. How big is it? It's kind of hard to know, so I made this diagram. And let's say this is the thickness of the wall for managers and professionals, and this is for blue-collar workers. The difference is 48 micrometers. And to give this number some context, the reduction of the inner space is about 4%, and this is this compares to about 2 to 3 years of aging, which is to say, blue-collar workers and managers, their artery health is about 3 years different, and just to give you another anchor, current smoker versus never smoker, the difference would be 10%. So this is the first research question. Is occupational status associated with CVD? And it's yes. Blue-collar workers, after we controlled for all those risk factors, we still see some difference. So what is it? We controlled for many things. Blue-collar jobs are mainly held by racial health, ethnic minorities, more likely to have hypertension, obesity, low-income, low-education, diabetes, smokers. We all took care of it, but still we see the difference. So this keeps me busy for the next year or so to look for other risk factors that's prevalent for blue-collar jobs. And the second research question was about job stress. We used the demand control model of job stress. I don't know if you are familiar with this. It's proposed by Karasek in 1979. And he says, all jobs can be described in two dimensions, how much demands the job create for the worker and how much control the job allows for the worker. And having high demand is stressful, but if the worker has enough control, then the worker can deal with it. Actually, it becomes active jobs, and it actually has health benefit. But what's most detrimental to health is having high demand jobs combined with low control. So we tested if this model works as predictor of IMT difference. And here's the result. If job demand level is low and there's no difference between high control or low control, but if the demand level is high, there is significant difference. Just to give you a direction, the y-axis is the IMT, so the thicker, the more the less healthy. So we want to see lower bars. And the healthiest group in these four bars is high demand but high control. So our research question two is job stress associated with CBD. The answer is mixed. Yes, job control is associated. It's protective of health, but not job demand isn't. And this gives me two additional new research questions. We need to look for the mechanisms for job control to low job control to increase IMT. What was it there? The literature in the past showed high blood pressure and poor health behavior, increased BMI, are all associated with increased IMT. We need to test this model with our data. And we expected the high job demands to be associated with high IMT, but it wasn't true. So I look into the data again, and so what's happening in the demand scale? And this was not what I expected to see. It turned out the management professionals reported the highest job demand level compared to other job groups. So is it true that blue-collar workers, service workers, sales office jobs don't create job demands to them as much as management jobs? Or are we missing some aspects of job demands? So for the future, I have three new research questions to address. So what is the excess risk present in blue-collar jobs? And what is the mechanism that link lack of control and CVD? And are there other measures of job demands that are associated with CVD? And last but not least, these are my collaborators. And thank you for your attention.
What I didn't mention earlier, we have four presenters and we have quite a bit of time, so.
Yeah, hi, I'm Dean Baker.
Hi.
I helped work with Bob in developing the thing in 1979 and 1980. So we've been working on this for quite a while. And the job demand measures, what you're reporting for intermedial thickness is pretty much true across the board. It's never quite as predictive. And just to comment, there's a lot of work going on now about and particularly to get into blue-collar workers with regard to intermedial thickness, if some of those demands are physical demands. So it's just an issue where, I think most of the research has said lack of control is probably the most important dimension, but there's also, if you will, kind of methodological issues with regard to the demand scales. You may be able to look at that a little bit more in your population, because you have a large population.
Yes, we have a large population and a wide range of jobs, but we also have 30% of foreign-born workers in this group. And the questionnaire was administered in three different languages, English, Spanish, and Chinese. So we cannot really tease out what are the language differences, what are the ethnic immigrants versus native worker differences. And yeah, we have a lot to do. But it is true that job demand scale didn't have good alpha for this group.
Is Paul working with you on this?
Yes. Yeah, he is actually the second author for this one.
Santosh?
I'm not familiar with this field, but it feels like it's all these factors are so much correlated. So you have like blue collar workers, no control, no education levels, job stress, like work, like job stress, and stress like home can probably lead them to they have like single parent. So is it, I feel like you have a time when you can control by all these confounding factors to isolate the effect of one thing. I feel there will always be possibility of such a big physical confounding that you will never ever be able to tell that this factor is causing this.
Right. I guess my statistics professors say all models are wrong, but some are useful, and I hope I hope mine is somewhat useful. I think you're right that no single model can explain everything, and also we are omitting a whole bunch of other stresses that would have effect on IMT. But in this particular analysis, we wanted to see what occupation does to IMT. So I'm not claiming this explains everything, and we omit life stress or financial strain or maybe discrimination, all those other health disparity issues. But something we do say in this analysis is that blue-collar jobs seem to have something going on. And since I'm from NIOSH, National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, blue-collar jobs are the ones we should focus our resources and attention to. Yes?
Is this a longitudinal study?
Yes, it is, but my analysis is cross-sectional.
And so is it possible in the future to look at changes in jobs
I wish we could do this kind of analysis, but this is a large cohort study, and the main focus is to follow the subclinical change of atherosclerosis, and occupation is just a sub-interest. So job stress was measured only once in one, so we don't really know how it changes over time. That's a shame. Occupation was measured 4 times, and that right now the 5th exam is going on, so we have 5 time points, and we can have occupational titles for each person. But so part of this analysis could be done in longitudinally, but not with job stress data.
Yes, please.
I guess this is just me thinking out loud because I don't have much experience in this field either, but when I look at the chart here, I start thinking about what is the effect of cyclophosphamide have on anyone in any of these different type of jobs. And then on the type of personalities that are attracted to what kind of jobs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's
always
someone, yeah. Yeah. And if poor management along those workers, it's going to be a very stressful situation, especially in the economy, people aren't able to leave because they fear they can't hire.
Right.
So all of those factors seem to, I think, like everyone's been saying, muddy the waters and
make
this more difficult. Those
are things
that came to my mind.
Yeah, we do have a variable asking, do you have a supervising responsibility or not? And also there's something about unfair treatment, unfairly denied promotion, or but these items are just scattered in a single item and not really good measures to, yeah. And this multi-ethnic composition of the sample makes it quite difficult to analyze those constructs you're mentioning, right? Excuse me.
I'll take one more question, Anna Bertz.
Yeah, do you have any information about shift work or what that might be in the population? Because this has been shown to lead or to be associated with an increased risk for cardiovascular disease, and this is a proportional problem in blue collar workers.
Right.
Yeah,
unfortunately, we don't have information on shift work, but we do have work hours, how many hours a day, how many hours in a 24-hour period do you work? And that's in my next to-do list. Thank you very much. Oh, one more? Or
yeah, we'll take one more.
Okay.
One more. We do have a little
I'm sorry, I can't hear you very well, but the family.
Do you look at, or if it's going to be looked at, for the blue collar workers, if they were a sole provider and how large is the business that they're providing for?
No, we don't have that detailed information. Really, this MESA project is not focused on occupation that much. We are lucky to have this much information in that large data. So, and to put in new type of information to be collected in a future wave is a multi-million project. So there's always that constraint.
Yeah. Well, thank you for an excellent
thank
presentation.
You.
I think, as always, what this type of study illustrates is some of the challenges in doing occupational epidemiology research and long-term outcomes and some of the changing covariates, time-dependent covariates, and but thank you very much.